Today's daf is daf pei ches, so hopefully we'll finish the parak today. So the Gemara begins, we're up to six lines down from the top of pei ches. I'm an aleph, Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna, lo shanu ela lemalos. We only spoke about this halacha legabe filling up. What are we talking about? So Rashi tells us four lines from the top, lo shanu shemechita tluya materes begezusitra lerabanan ela lemalos. When we spoke about how there are certain kulas of the platform and drawing the water, that was only in terms of drawing the water. Aval, in contrast to that, says the Gemara, aval lishpoch aser, but to pour water down that hole into the water would be prohibited. Why would that be prohibited? So Rashi says, aval lishpoch shofchin benekev lemaim, to pour water down into the water, aser, that would be aser, mipnei she'anar molicha shofchin chutz lemechitas ha'gezusha, because the water is going to then draw, the current's going to pull outside of the area, and that looks like you're pouring water into a karmelis, from a Rosh Yachid to a karmelis, and for that reason it's aser. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Maskev la Rav Shizvi, v'chima bein zeh le'uka. What's the difference between this and an uka? What's an uka? It's, we're going to see later on in the bottom of this Amud, the Mishnah talks about this hole called a cesspool of some sort. So that you're actually allowed to pour it into the cesspool, an uka, even though it's going to go from that cesspool to the Rosh Hashanah ultimately. So why is that allowed into an uka, but it's not allowed pouring it down that gzushta, where it also eventually would go to Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara says there's a big distinction. V'chima bein zeh le'uka, honey taimei. Honey lo taime. The difference is, if you look at Rashi, hasam taimi maya. Hamay masuim lichalos ulibalea bekarka. When you pour water into the cesspool of sorts, so it's eventually going to be absorbed in the karka and not necessarily go out to Rosh Hashanah. V'hilkach, therefore, ki shafich adaita dilibloi. V'duchtoi shafich. When you pour the water into this uka, the intention is for it to get absorbed into the ground. The inafki labar, if it happens to overflow and trickle out to the Rosh Hashanah, la machshavasa lahachihu, that wasn't his intention. V'lonish kaima machshavasa, and even though it happens, that's not filling his obligation, his want. He wanted to happen to be mavli in the karka, and therefore shari. The afilo yichiva ichavin, even if he did have kavana to have the water to go to Rosh Hashanah by the uka, iser mamish lek. It's not a real iser. Dab Rosh Hashanah yachad shapach. He poured into Rosh Hashanah yachad. Okay, granted, it eventually trickled to Rosh Hashanah, but even with that, it wasn't directly pouring to Rosh Hashanah. But when it comes to pouring the water down the gezusha and it falls into the water, there's no question. It's inevitable that the water is going to go outside that area, and that's why it's aser in that case, but it's mutter with respect to the uka. The Gemara then presents an Ika de Amri in this discussion. Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna, lo tema lemalos hu deshari lishboch aser. Don't tell me that only drawing water up is permitted, but pouring down from the gezusha would be prohibited. No. El lishboch nami shari. This Ika de Amri thinks pouring down would also be permitted. So Amar of Shizvi Pshit, of course it would be. Why would it be aser? You're pouring down Rosh Hashanah Yachid, that's completely allowed. So Hainu Uka, that's exactly the case of the Uka and the Mishnah coming up, that you're allowed to pour in the water into the cesspool, even though it might trickle out to Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, Mal, the same, I would have thought maybe you could make the chiluk we said above. Maybe only it works by the uka because honey taimi, because the water is meant to be absorbed in the karka and not go to Rosh Hashanah. But honey lo taimi, but the water poured down the gezusha, it's not being absorbed, it's gonna inevitably going to move the current to outside the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, where you think maybe it should be us in this case, Kamash Blan, we allow you to even pour down the Gezusha, and that's how we actually paskin, based on the Ein Mishpah, the Rambam paskins, you're allowed to pour down from the Gezusha as well. So now the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, this is something we've seen before, we should know this pretty well now.
I'm sorry, and the reason is why we don't hold that it's going to go to Rosh Hashanah?
Because that's not your intention, that wasn't your Kavanah. So then the Gemara says, V'chein shtei gezusha zu. We had the case, you had two different platforms that are one higher than the other, and they're both using the upper hole, the El Yona. So we had said that they asked each other from using it, they would have to make an Eruv. So Gemara makes a qualification, which we've seen before, Amar Rav, lo shanu ela besmucha. It's only true that the lower platform asers the upper platform if it's smucha, if it's very close, if it's within four tfachim of the horizontal distance from it. If it's more than four tefachim away, even though the bottom could use it by extending something, throwing the pail up, but it's four tefachim away, El Yona would be muteris, it'd be mutter. Why would it be mutter? Why don't we say the tachtona asers on the El Yona? Because Rav L'Tamer, this is Rav L'Shitaso, Tamer Rav, ain't adam oser al chaveru derech avir. If your only access point is to have to go over an area of four tefachim of airspace, that's called derech avir. Rav holds ain't adam oser al chaveru derech avir, and therefore the El Yona remains mutter without having to make an eruv with the tachtona. So Gemara now says an interesting line here. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Chia, Rav Yosef, Amar Rabbi Oshaya, Yesh gezel b'Shabbos, the churva machzer l'bayim. What does it mean, yesh gezel b'Shabbos, is stealing on Shabbos, and the churva is subject to return to the Baal? So if you look at Rashi, we need Rashi to explain what's going on here. Last four narrow lines in Rashi, or last five narrow lines, yesh begezel b'Shabbos, the churva machzer l'bayim. What that means is, the havamina is, mutter ligzel b'Shabbos reshuyos, you're allowed to steal domains on Shabbos, ulishtamish ba b'churvasel shechavero hasmuchalo, and to use the property of your neighbor, that if it's a churba, it's not his living space. It's an area that's been left desolate. You're allowed to use it. Kiecha deragil b'chol. Just like during the week, you use, you know, your neighbor's backyard because no one goes there anyways. You could use this on Shabbos. Hol v'stam churba, stam churba, stam area that's just laid to nothing doing. It's desolate, even though there's an owner to it. Ein ha'bayle m'shamshin b'chol kacha. No, the owners don't use it so much. It's in the back of their house, acres of land. And Kani Lehai Big Zelaso, Kishaga Zlatam Vinasis Rishuso. The guy who's using the property, even though he shouldn't be, there's something called Kinyani Gzela. If you steal someone's object, you have certain own rights to it and certain obligations of ownership to it. It's called Kinyani Gzela. So here's, well, when you use a guy's property as Churba, you get the rights, and therefore it's yours, and you use it on Shabbos as well. You don't need to make any Erev of any sorts. But the churva machzir lebailim. But this approach says no. The churva goes back to the baal. It doesn't go back to the one using it. Goes back to who has title of the property. Mashma al karcho iser shabbos machzir lebailim. That goes back to the owner, not to the one using it. The tzarch lachziro ve'ein knuli ila. There is no kinim. Alma also the shamish ba, which means that the neighbor cannot be using the property. So one statement sounds that there is zela, meaning the one who you, the neighbor who's violating the halacha, but he's using it, he has rights to use on Shabbos as well. And the other one says no, churvas machz lebaylam. It goes to who has title, and the neighbor can't be using it. So that seems to be a steer. The Gemara says ha gufa kasha. So amris yesh begezel. You first say yesh gezel b'Shabbos, which is mashma alma kanya, that the neighbor acquires rights by using it. But then you said, v'churba machzer b'bayim, it goes back to the rightful owner, alma lo kanya, which means the neighbor doesn't acquire it, it goes to the whoever has title. So the Gemara says, hachi kamar, what he means to say is, yesh din gezel b'Shabbos, not yesh gezel, yesh din, there's the halacha of gezel. What's the halacha of gezel? Ketzad, the churva machzer b'bayim. It's telling us, what's the din of gezel, what's the halacha? That it's machzer b'bayim, that there is no kinyani gzela, it goes back to the rightful owners. Not that there is a kinyan, but it goes back to the rightful owners. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, two Y lines down, yesh din gezel, din hashavas gzela, the din of returning the stolen object is applicable on Shabbos. It's noeg b'rishuyos shel Shabbos, the churva machzer gzela l'bayim, it goes back to the rightful owner, v'ash l'shamishba, and the neighbor, the gazan, may not use this on Shabbos. So Gemara says, Amar Rabba, if this is true, that a neighbor who inappropriately uses someone else's property, he doesn't really aser, he doesn't aser at all, it's not considered shamshus, is that really true? U'mosfina nashmaisen, we're going to ask based on the sugi we just mentioned above, v'chein shnei gezustros, zulam al mizu, one higher than the other one. So we said the lower one asers the higher one from using it. But why is that the case? V'yamris yesh din gezel b'Shabbos. If you say that the din gezel b'Shabbos means that it always goes back to the rightful owner, amai asuros. Why did the tachtona people, who are seemingly at this point using the elyona's hole to draw water, that's using a property that's not his, how could they asur the elyona? We should say there's always a Shabbos gezel on Shabbos. It goes back to the rightful owner. Gemara says, no, this case is amar rav sheshes hacha b'may askinan kigon she'asu mechitza b'shutzas, where they built the mechitza in partnership, which means that they both agreed to use it, and it wasn't, there's no gzela to even speak of here. Since they had b'shutvis, they built the mechitza together, that clearly indicated they both wanted to use this. So the Gemara says, ihachi, that's the case, ki asla tachtona nami. So when the person, the bottom one, makes the mechitza a separate mechitza as well, so we said there, you would have to make an erev. I mean, this din would not apply. It's only true when they built the b'shutvis. So now they have to make an erev since they're both using this. But if it's if the bottom guy makes a mechitza as well, so then we wouldn't they wouldn't ask each other. Why not? If they built the mechitza b'shutvas on top, certainly they'd be using this in tandem. They'd have to make an erev. So the Gemara says, kevan da'asa l'tachtona, once the tachtona, meaning even though they built the mechitzas of the elyona together and it's b'shutvas, but once the tachtona also built his own mechitza and his own hole on his lower platform, It's galu gala daita, made it clear. The ana bahadech lo nichle. I don't really want to use your upper platform anymore. I'm using my lower one. And since he doesn't plan to use it, he does not aser the elyona from being used. And that's the case here. But this has nothing to do at all with the guy using a property. Bigzela is talking about when they had a certain agreement, either b'shutvis, where he agreed to opt out of using this mechitza. Okay. The new mission now begins in the bottom here. So we mentioned above that if a person wants to pour water out, so we spoke about pouring water through the hole of the gezushos, and then we discussed this thing, the concept of an ukah. The ukah was like this little cesspool. So if a person wants to empty out water, there are a few different approaches you could have. So the mission is first going to tell us, if a guy has four amos in his property, he could pour it out in his property. With four amos, there's plenty of space for the water to go. We'll see why that is. If, let's say, the mechatzer is less than four amos, which we'll see is not a big enough space to absorb all the water, so then he can't pour it out because it's going to ultimately go to the Rishus Rabbim. You can't pour water to Rishus Rabbim. So the other avenues you have is the building this ukah, this little cesspool, where even though my property is very small, less than four amos, if I pour in the cesspool, it's going to slowly seep into the ground. And then there's one other option the Gemara is going to suggest. It's kind of like a drain of some sort, where you have like a little line where the water's going to go out that way and carry on for a while. So these are a few different approaches the Mishnah is going to lay out, and we're going to go through one by one. So first, the Mishnah says, Chatzer shehipchusa me'arba amos. If the chatzer is less than four amos, ein shofrin besocha mayim b'shabbos. You can't pour water. Implying, which is the Gemara's first point we'll see, if it is four amos big, you actually can pour. But if it's not four amos big, you can't pour the water in the chatzer unless elim kein asu lo uka, unless you make a cesspool which is the size of machzekes sasayim min hanekev. Ulamata has to hold, you know, sometimes it has a hole where it drains out. Below that hole in the cesspool has to be big enough to hold the volume of sasayim, two says of water. That's the size it has to be. And then you can pour it out into your property, even though your property might be very small. Now, that cesspool could be located, says the Mishnah, bein mi b'chutz, bein mi b'fnim. Whether it's inside your property, whether it's outside your property in Rishus Rabbim, that's all allowed because the cesspool is viewed as something different. But the difference is where the cesspool is going to be located is elishimi b'chutz, tzarech likmor, mi b'fnim ein tzarech likmor. If it's outside, you need to build a platform over the cesspool, a little wooden beam over the cesspool. And if it's inside, you don't have to build a platform over. Why not? So the Machlokes and Rishonim, some say, because if the cesspool is in Rishus Rabbim, if it's outside, that means if it's it's a small cesspool. It's not 10 tefachim deep. And now it becomes part of Rishus Rabbim. It's directly Rishus Rabbim. Because we know any hole, any little dip in Rishus Rabbim, as long as it's not too deep, is part of Rishus Rabbim. So now if I'm pouring it into the cesspool, I'm in essence pouring it into Rishus Rabbim. So the only way to separate that little ditch, that little cesspool, from Rishus Rabbim is by putting a board over it. So people walk over it. So it does not become an extension of Rishus Rabbim, and it remains a separate entity as a Makom Patur of some sort. That's one reason. Others say no, it's because of Nezikin, because there's a boar now, Rishus Rabbim. If you want to build a cesspool in Rishus Rabbim, a guy might trip and get hurt. So for protection, for safety reasons, is why you have to build a board. But either way, you have to build a board of some sort over the cesspool if it's built outside. But if it's built inside your property, so then there's no boar in Rishus Yachid. Boar, by definition, is only when it's endangering the rabbin. But if it's in your own backyard, where you're aware of it, we're not concerned with there being a boar. So then comes along, and the Mishnah continues, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, a biv, which is some type of drain. How do they define this in English there?
Drainage.
Yeah, drainage, just regular drainage. Shehu, what?
Drainage.
Okay, a drain, okay. A biv shehu kamur, which is, if it's closed, it's time to have a covering on it. The din is arba amos. If it goes arba amos b'shus rabim, shofchin l'tocho, mayim b'shabbos. As long as it extends, the drain goes four amos into b'shus rabim, which means it has enough space to carry the water, and it's also covered because it goes into b'shus rabim, you'd be allowed to pour it down that route as well. This is already the third approach we have. Again, either in your chatzir if it's four amos big, or in a cesspool, or down this drain. So then the Mishnah says, chachamim omrim, afilu gag o chatzir mea ama lo yishpoch al pi abiv. He felt that you should not pour down a drain on Shabbos at all. And the reason is because ultimately the gravity, it's on the slope seemingly, gravity is going to ultimately go to Rishus Rabbim. It's hard to say that your intent wasn't to pour it to Rishus Rabbim, even though it might be 100 amas long. It's eventually going down that slope, it's going to get there ultimately. He felt that a person should not pour down any drain at all, even though it's far from the Rishus Rabbim. Avah, what you can do is, shofech hulagag v'mayim yordan lebiv. You could pour it onto the rooftop, and then it will ricochet off the rooftop into your, into your gutters, into your drainage system. That's all that. But to pour directly into the drainage system, he felt that would be wrong. And then the Mishnah says, hachatzer, Now, we defined in the beginning of the Mishnah that the chatzar, if it's four amos big, so then you're able to pour in your chatzar directly, and there's no additional need for an ukah or a bib. But if, let's say, the chatzar is smaller, so you could still combine the chatzar, v'achsadra, mitzar from the arba amos, you could have different types of chatzeros. The courtyard, even though my courtyard might be small, but I might have this other area outside called an achsadra, you could combine those measurements for the needed four amos necessary. And then the Mishnah says, v'chein shnei diutos, zu k'neged zu. Let's say you have two different, they call them aliyos, Rashi says, two upper areas. The chatzar is less than four tvachim. So now if it's less than four tvachim, so you can't pour it into your chatzar itself. But miktsasan asu uka. Some people in this area built an uka, the cesspool. U'miktsasan lo asu uka, and some people did not build the cesspool. So the din is, es she'asu uka, those who built the cesspool, mutarn, they're allowed to pour into their cesspool. And Eshelo, Asu Uka, those who did not build the cesspool, Asur, and are Asur to use it. So this is the Mishnah. So again, just to be clear, what we have here is the first option is pouring water in your chatzar. If your chatzar is four amos, there's no concern. Next, the issue is if you don't have four amos, you pour it into a cistern, rather to a cesspool, a little Uka. And if you don't have that, you could build a bib, some type of drainage system, which goes four amos and carried into Rishis Rabin. The Chacham didn't agree to that. They felt that that would be wrong to pour it into the drainage. Rather, you should pour it into the roof and ricochet and trickle eventually into the drainage. Fine. So the Gemara now wants to know my time. What's the reason? What's the reason why the mashmalos of the Mishnah, as I pointed out, is if it's less than four amos, you can't pour it into your chatzar. But if it's four amos or bigger, you can. Why can you if it's four amos or bigger? So there's a machlokas amarayim here, which is going to carry us pretty much through the rest of the daf. Amar Rabba, mipnei she'odam also listabek sasai maim b'choyom barba amos. People typically, their typical use of water is for amos, even though we don't bathe on Shabbos, but washing, dishes, washing your face, washing your hands, all these things, amounts to around four amos of water, which is the equivalent of sasai mayim. Fine. So now, Adam also wrote to Lezalfon. He wants to do Lezalfon. What's Lezalfon? So before you turn the page, just look at Rashi. Rashi is Adam wrote to Lezalfon, Shiruya hi Lezalif laharbitz afara shalyala avka. You pour the water on your dirt. You don't want your areas to be dusty. So how do you keep the dust from coming up? By pouring water on it, keeping it muddy, keeping it wet and heavy, it's not going to fly up. So you want to keep everything nice and not muddy, but you don't want it to be dusty either. In the summer, since you want to sprinkle the water in your chatzar, inami shavach luvanafke lomis kaima machshavasa. If the water does go to Rishis Rabim, that's not what you wanted. I want the water to stay in my chatzar to make it very nice and not dusty. So the moment it goes outside, that's not what I wanted. So that's why if it's four amos, that's understandable. So now this assumption, it's very important to know. When we speak of four amos, has to be exactly four amos by four amos, an exact square. The moment it becomes a strange shape, people are not interested. I mean, if I have a little side yard, I'm not going to put water in the side yard. That's a very long area because that's not a nice area. If it's a front yard that's 4x4, it's a very hushed area. So then I'm interested in keeping the dust out of the way. But once it's, again, a strange shape, I'm not interested. And that's the assumption the Gemara keeps in mind for the Shita of Rabbah for this concept of Lezalfon to be in effect.
And he can't have any grass because he will be...
Exactly, be an issue of Zoreya, or Mashke. So then the Gemara continues just to finish off the Shita of Rabbah again. Pachos mi dal shofran. If it's less than four amos, then you pour it out. Idavid uka shari. If you have an uka, if you have the cesspool, then you can pour into the cesspool. Ilav aser, it's aser to do so. Why is that? And Rashi points out on the top here, pachas midalad ein rui lezalif v'shofchan. If it's less than four amos my chatzar, so then I have more water than I need. I don't need to use four amos of water for the two sasaim of water to do zila for my karka. It's too small. V'chinafik mekayim machshavasa. So I understand if I'm pouring all my water out in my very small chatzar, it's inevitable that's going to go out to the Rishis Rabim eventually. The Gazer Abanala Dilma Asila Mishra Zrika Bahadila Rishis Rabim. Just like I could pour water that will eventually make its way to Rishis Rabim, I might come to throw things into Rishis Rabim, and therefore there are Gozer if it's less than Dalat Amos. So that's all Rabba. Again, the idea is to pour water over your dusty front yard that's 4x4 Amos. Now comes along Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira says nothing to do with trying to keep the dust down. Rabbi Zeira says it's a question of what gets absorbed in the land versus not. Rabbi Zeira Amar, Dalat Amos Taimei. The ratio of water to absorption in the karka is the sasaim of water to 4x4 amos of karka. And therefore, if it's 4x4 amos of karka, it will get absorbed. If it's less than that, it won't get absorbed, which means there'll be an overflow of water, and it'll eventually make its way over to Rishis Rabim. So that's the idea. So what's nafkamina? My benayu between the two. As I pointed out, Amar Abaye, arich v'katan ikka benayu. If, let's say, it's 4x4 amos, we know 16 amos, square amos. But I could have, let's say, this table. It could be, one amma wide by 16 amos long. That's also 16 amos. So according to Rabbi Zera, that would still be effective because it all goes about the proportion of water to land. I have my 16 amos here. But according to Rabbah, apparently Zilif is only an area that's considered something a davar chashuv. A strange shape like this, no one really uses it, so it only would be relevant if it's 4x4 amos, a square, not a rectangle. And therefore, for Rabbah, you would not be able to pour the water out in your property if it's 1x16, but according to Rabbi Zera, one would be able to do so. So now
Rabbah holding a psik reish of the lone nikolay is mutter, meaning he's going from Rishus Hayachid to Rishus Arab. So your intention based on the sprinkling, like that's significant because of
Secretia? No, I don't think it's an issue of secretia. I think it's just more of a perception of what you're trying to accomplish here. It seems like you're pouring from Rishus Yachad to Rishus Harabim.
I'm saying more than perception, there is something that's
yeah, moving. But this is Nichale. It's under, as Rashi pointed out, once you're pouring into an area that's less than 4x4, you know for sure it's going to go out. It's definitely going to happen.
Right, so I'm saying,
and you don't want the water to be in your property. It's going to be overflowing your property. You have puddles, and so it's actually Nichale that's not in your property.
Yeah. And if it's 1x8, it's also for sure it's going to go out.
If it's 1x16, you mean?
Yeah, 1x16 or 2x8, I'm sorry. Meaning,
no,
you
know, well,
yeah, one like that, you pour it, for sure it's going to go forward. I mean, the only way that it's going to keep in place if it's 4x4 squared.
No, not necessarily. I'm not sure. It depends if there's a slope. It depends on different things, how it's worked or how you drizzle it.
It will be for sure that it goes out. Then it
might yeah, that'd be a problem, yeah. Yeah. If you pour it out, you throw it out this way, and then it's going to make its way.
Go down if you have, like,
yeah, if you do it slowly across the way, in such a way, that would, right.
So you would have to put it
down. Right. Okay, so now the Gemara quotes in the Mishnah. So these are two positions. Again, Rabbah says you need this mamish dal by dal, almost a square, only by square. We're concerned with doing zilif to keep the dust down. Reb Zera is concerned with as long as there's enough property, no matter how you slice it, but it could absorb the water, that's all you need. So the Gemara quotes in the Mishnah, Tanan, Chatzir v'Achsadra, at the end of the Mishnah said that you could combine the two mitzvah from the Arba Amos. So Bishra, the Reb Zera, Nichlis, makes sense. Because you have the property. You have a little bit of dirt from the chatzer, a little bit of dirt of the achsadra. It adds to a total of 16 square amos, so everything gets absorbed very nicely. El Rabba Kasha, it's a Kasha, because the only time you have to make a zilif is when you have a chatzer outside. But for achsadra, apparently, again, I don't know exactly how zilif works, but apparently it was something you were not so concerned with, so therefore maybe you shouldn't combine the two together. If you just look at... Rashi doesn't really explain how the zilif works for Rashi. We'll look at Rashi. See, Rashi's chatzir v'achsadja mistar from the dal amos, two narrow lines down. The potim mina uka kasak adaitach v'achsadja b'omedes chutz lechatzir k'neged echad mina mikzos u'mistarefes la'ashav hashir. It's on the outside, somewhere far away. And alma taima k'dei sheyesham shir l'bliyas amayim hu. D'ha hacha lav dal merubos ninu lischazir lezalif. But it's not four amos in a square that would be fitting for a zilif, according to Rabbah. So why did Rabbah allow pouring water when the tzchatz and achsadja don't seem to be next to each other? And so the Gemara responds, Targum Rabbi Zera, I'll leave the Rabbah. We have this many times in Shas where his bar plugza comes to the defense. So Rabbi Zera is coming to defend Rabbah. The achsadja mehalachas al pnei kol chatzer kula. No, it's achsadja that's mamish next to the chatzer, whereby the square footage is 16 amos. It's 4 amos, but 4 amos, and it is roi lezilif, and therefore fitting even for Rabbah. Tashma, the Gemara says further, Chatzah she'ein ba'ar ba'amos al'ar ba'amos, if there's not 4x4, ein shof from the tocha mayim b'shabbos. You can't pour water there on Shabbos. So it sounds like it has to be mamish 4x4 amos. Four this side, four on that side. Not total of 16 amos, but mamish has to be a square. So this makes sense. Bishma l'rabba, this proves a point that if it is arba by arba amos, it's ro'i to pour water there. You need the square. El Rabbi Zeira Kasha. Rabbi Zeira doesn't care about 4x4. He cares about 16 square amos, no matter how you position, whatever shape it's in. So Gemara says, Amar lech Rabbi Zeira, Hamani, who is this? This is the Shita of the Rabbanan, who is talking about here, that they say, it's Rabbanhi, Umasnisin, as opposed to Rabbi, one more time. This is Hamani, this is Rabbanhi, and the Masnisin is Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov. That according to Rabbanan, they're the ones who hold you need a square footage. But according to the Mishnah, it's going to, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Hamani Rabbanhi, delo sharulei mishum shir makom b'lias amayim, kidetam masisin afil biv mea amal lo yishpoch letocha al agag al achatzer." The Rabbanan of the Mishnah, who did not allow you to pour down the drainage, they clearly didn't care about absorption of water. So they're the ones who say, Alma, what's the reason for Rabbanim? Tamididei mishum zilafu. It's all about sprinkling over the dust. So Biv, what does a Biv have to do with sprinkling over the dust? There's no heter for that. Once you pour water into the biv, into the drainage, you're clearly not interested in watering the dust there. So the Rabbanan are the ones who hold it's all about makum zilaf, and they're the ones who hold you need mamish 4x4 amos. But Rashi the Masnis in the beginning of the Mishnah says Rashi is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov who damar taima mishum shir makum lebliya, that they felt the reason is to get absorption, and that's why as long as you get rid of the water somehow, that's fine. Whether the water gets rid of it in the dirt itself. In the chatzar, where the water got rid of in the cesspool, where it goes down the biv, it's just getting rid of water. So they're the ones who hold you don't need mamash jab by dalad, and they're the authors of the Mishnah. But the Braisa, it's Rabbanan who hold that's not about absorbing the water, rather it's about makum zilf. So the Gemara says now my duchka to Rabbi Zera leokmin lasisin krabos ben Yaakov. What pressed Rabbi Zera? What would he feel the need to say that our Mishnah is like the das yachid of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? That's all about the blias, the absorption of the water. Why weren't they comfortable saying that's about makum zilaf? So Amar Rava, Rava says, Masnisin kshisa, the Mishnah was difficult. Because my iriya detani chatzir shi pchusa. Why the Mishnah say that the chatzir is less than? It goes on to say pchusa mi arba amos. Why did it use that language? Listen, it should have taught chatzir she'en ba arba amos. It should have spoken about if it doesn't have 4x4 amos from the side. Why did it say it's less than 4 amos overall? It must be the Mishnah just cared about square footage. It didn't care about an actual square. And therefore, Elav Shmamina, it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Shmamina, again, he's the one who holds it's about absorption, the ratio of land to absorption. And we don't care about it being a square. We just make sure that there's overall square footage necessary to accomplish the necessary to have enough dirt to absorb the water. So the Gemara says, wait a second. If you're telling me that the Tanakama, who says you don't need actual square, that's Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, but Hamid de Seifa, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, Reish Alav, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, the Mishnah goes on to quote the position of Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Does that not imply that the Reisha, the Stam Mishnah in the Reisha, is not Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov? And the Gemara answers, no, Kula Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. The whole Mishnah was authored by Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. V'chasur mechzer v'hachi kadani, there's something missing, and the Mishnah should be read, that really as follows, v'hachi kadani, chater shehi p'chus mi'arba amos, if it's less than 4 amos, Ein shofchin l'tocha mayim b'Shabbos. You don't pour water. Ha, if there is arba amos shofchin, you can pour, even though it's not a square. She Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer biv hakamur arba amos b'rishis rabim shofchin l'tocha mina b'Shabbos. The fact that he allows you to pour down the drainage, which has nothing to do with zilaf, it's clearly indicating it's a siman that he holds it's about absorption of water, not about makum zilaf, and therefore that's why he felt the need. That's how he explained the shita of the Mishnah. Okay. Now the Gemara says, continuing on, the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, they hold biv hakamer. If it was a drainage that was covered 4 amos into Rishis Rabim, you're allowed to pour into. And the Chacham says you're not allowed to pour into the drainage unless you have a ricochet off to the rooftop first. So Masis in our Mishnah, we said that you're allowed to pour from the rooftop, the Chacham hold. You can pour onto the rooftop and then let that ricochet into the sewer. Dilo kechanani. This is not like Chananya. The Tanya Chananya Omer afilu gag me'ama lo yishboch lefisha ena gag aser levloa el kalech. He felt even pouring onto the roof would be problematic according to Chananya because everyone knows that it doesn't get poured in. The roof itself doesn't absorb the water. You put tar and whatnot on the rooftop to ensure that it doesn't absorb water. So there's no different pouring onto the rooftop. It's the same thing as pouring down into the drain. So he actually argued on Chacham. So there are really three shitas in terms of pouring down the biv. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said you can pour directly into the biv. Chacham said you could pour onto the roof, which would go into the biv. And then Chananya felt even onto the roof would be a problem as well.
So the biv is 100% of Rishus HaRabim. The cesspool or whatever.
No, it's not Rishus HaRabim. No, it's not. It goes into the ground.
Meaning it goes into his property, and then there is a chance. There is like a
no. It could go into the ground. It gets seeps into the ground.
Ben Yaakov, biv hakamor, right?
The biv goes into Rishus HaRabim. The biv does, not the uka.
Not the uka.
Right, but the biv does. Yeah. So then the Gemara says Tana. Bamed v'amu, when it is all true that pouring into the chatzer, it's only true b'mos hachama that if it's the chatzer is 4 amos, you can pour, and if it's less than 4 amos, you cannot pour into the chatzer unless there's a cesspool. That's all true b'mos hachama. Aval b'mos hagshamim during the rainy season, shovich v'shonev eino nimna. You could pour and pour and pour over and over again into your chatzer, and there is no concern. My taima, why are you allowed to pour as much as you want into your chatzer? You don't need any of these measurements of arba amos. Because Amarava, Adam wrote, people want the water to stay in the area. They don't want it to go outside the chatzar. And since, you know, in the rainy season, it's raining all the time, and it's muddy, and they're puddles, they don't care if more water comes here and there. They don't want it to go outside. So Amalei Abai says, V'arei shovchin adam, the adam rotsa shibalu, v'katani lo yishboch. So what about the case, Abai says to Rava, what about the case people pour into the biv, into this drainage, and the people want it to get absorbed, and yet still said it's usser, you can't pour it into the biv in that case, so why can't you pour it into the biv? Amalei hasam over there by the rainy season, l'may nechishla. Right, pouring into my chatzar itself, what's the concern? Why would you say I can't do it? If it's because imishum kikul chatzero, the reason why you said you can't pour it into the chatzar, because it might ruin the chatzar, it's already ruined. I don't care that it's getting anywhere. It's snowing, it's raining, the whole thing's ruined. So the more water you pour, I don't care about the water coming in here. I'm not concerned I might pour the water into Rishis Rabim. Let it come into my chatz, it's already destroyed. V'imishim gzeir, if you're concerned, that gzeir shema yomu tzinora shaploni mekach maim, if you're going to say because by me pouring water in my chatz and over again, eventually it's going to overflow into the Rishis Rabim. And people are going to say, oh, that guy is pouring water on Shabbos into Rishis Rabim. Stam tzinora is mekach maim. Hey, Most gutters, there's always water coming out. In the rainy season, there's always rain coming out. There's always water coming out. No one thinks I'm actually doing something. They'll say, oh, it's attributed to the rain, attributed to the snow, whatever is coming out. They're not thinking that I'm the one pouring out. So in the rainy season, there's no chashash at all that people think I'm actually throwing water out. So that's why it's allowed in the rainy season to pour as much as I want in my chatzar. But over there, by the case of pouring into the biv, so apparently the biv, it wasn't so true that the rain didn't always come from the biv. If I pour water down the biv, people are going to say, oh, look, that guy is pouring water from Rishis Yachad to Rishis Rabim, and for that reason they said you can't do it, you can't pour it into the biv. So Gemara then says, Amar Rav Nachman b'imos hagshamim, in the rainy season, if there's a uka in his courtyard, machzik sasayim, that's able to hold an amount of sasayim, no sin lo sasayim, so he's allowed to pour a sasayim worth of water, because he has that size cesspool. If he only has a cesspool that's machzik sa, only one sa, no sin lo sa, he can only pour a se'a worth of water, which makes sense, because otherwise it will overflow and inevitably fall into the Rishis Rabim. If it's b'mos hacham, if it's in the summer though, then machzik sasayim, if he has a cesspool that holds two sasayim, no sin lo sasayim, he's allowed to pour two sasayim worth of water into there. If it's sa, ain't no sin lo ikar. So if, however, he only has a sa' worth of a uka, of a cesspool, he can't pour anything, not even one sa' worth. Why not? What's the reason? B'mosa chamanami sa' machzik sa' nisiv le'sa'. If the cesspool is able to hold one sa', so why can't he at least put one sa' worth of water? So Gemara says, Gizera dilma asi litein la sasayim. We're concerned if we let him pour a little bit, he might come to pour a lot, and therefore it's asr. So if that's the case, obvious question, ihachi. As well, nami ligzer. We said if in the Mosa Gshamim, if you have a cesspool of one seah, you can pour one seah. So why aren't we concerned that you're going to pour two sasayim? Hasim over there, my nechazel. What's the concern? Okay, let's say the guy in the rainy season pours two sasayim, even though he shouldn't. What's the worst thing that could happen? If it's going to be because imishim kilkel chatzero, we're concerned that maybe the guy is going to pour outside his courtyard because he's ruining his chatzer, he doesn't really care about his chatzer. His chatzer is already hamakil kol avakayim. It's already ruined because it's the rainy season. It's muddy, it's puddles. V'imishim gzeir shema, people might say, Yomru tinor shel ploni mekalech mine, this guy is busy pouring water into Rishis Rabim. No, stam tinor is mekalechin hein. During the rainy season, there's plenty of water trickling through into Rishis Rabim. No one's going to attribute it to that person at all. Therefore, there's no concern during the rainy season to pour one sa, even though it might lead to two sasayim. But opposed to the b'imosa chama, where that's not the case, there's no rain coming through, then a person should not pour one sa if it's only holding one sa worth of water. So Amar Bai says, therefore, Hilkach hafilu korva hafilu karayim. In the rainy season, you could pour as much as you want, because you always attribute it to the constant rain coming, the constant drainage taking place, and no one's going to say that guy's pouring from his Rishis Yachid to Rishis Rabim. There is a machlokas here when Abai says, hafilu korva hafilu karayim, that even in a case if there's no cesspool at all. So some Rishon hold, even if there's no cesspool, no one's paying attention, you could pour all the water you want in your courtyard regardless of the size. And others say, no. It's only when there's a cesspool you could empty more than you have to. But if there's no cesspool, then you're not allowed to dump out tons of water. So Gemara says further, V'chein shnei diyotos zuk negedui. I mentioned the Mishnah. If you have two diyotos, which are two types of elevated areas, it seems, and they have a chatzah in front of them, and one side of the courtyard made a guma, and the other one didn't, only the one with the guma is allowed to pour their water into the guma, but the other side, who does not have a cesspool, may not pour water. So Amar Rava says, those people who do not make the guma, so afilu irvu. even if they make an Erev with the adjacent Yutaos, they still cannot pour water in the area. My time, Amar Abai, my time, what's the reason? Ilema Mishum Dinafishun Demai, because if it's because now it's so much water, there's going to be so much excess of water from the other neighboring people. Vatanya, doesn't the Brisa say, Achas lo uka, achas lo gistera, brecha vareva. If you have any of these a cesspool, you have a gistera, which is some type of broken pottery, which is a kli, or you have a big pool, or a small boat. Ava pishin is malu, my mer Shabbos, shofron the tocha mayim b'Shabbos. Even though these may have been filled up on Shabbos, you could pour onto it on Shabbos. Meaning we're not so concerned actually with the available space. Let's say I've got an uka, a cesspool, that fits to sasayim. And let's say before Shabbos, it's ready full. Does that mean on Shabbos I can't pour into it? It's full? No. The din apparently in the Brisa is I could pour as much as I want. As long as the possibility was there, I could pour and pour even though it's going to be overflow. So that can't be the situation that it's concern of my neighbors who are over pouring into my cesspool. What does it mean? If you're going to say, you should say as follows. The Amar Rava going on to Daf Peites, and we'll finish the parak with this. Lo shanu ela shelo irvu. The only time you say the neighboring Yutaos can't use my cesspool is when they don't make an Erev. Aval irvu, if there is an Erev, it's actually mutar, and then they would be allowed to. You're going to use and overuse my cesspool? Doesn't make a difference. The Brisa says you could use it as much as you want. Once it's machzik sesayim. V'chilo irvu, my time alone. And when there was no Erev, what's the reason that my neighbor can't use my cesspool? Amarav Ashi Gzeira Dilma Asila Puke Mimani Debatim Lahasim. Because if he's going to start pouring water down into my cesspool, there's a concern he might start schlepping some kalim from his house to the courtyard, and that's wrong. So in order to avoid that concern, they said he should not use the cesspool at all unless you make an error. Hajinalach Keita Mishtatan. Okay, we are very, very close, guys.